afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Today is going to be a great show. I feel it in my bones. Coming up a little later, my old friend Richard Sturban of the Oak Ridge Boys will talk about the Oaks' Christmas show for this year and the final performance they'll ever give at the legendary Star Plaza Theater. That's coming up a little later in the program, but my first guest up in just a few minutes is Bradley Walker, an up-and-coming country Christian artist who's got a brand spanking new album out called Blessed, Hymns and Songs of Faith through Gaither Music. And it features a who's who of country and bluegrass music as special guests. We're going to get to a song featuring Alison Krauss. I'll be starting the show off with that song right after your headlines, and then we'll get to meet Mr. Walker himself. And I may have a couple other surprises on the show as well. So stay with me. Welcome back. This is Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. My guest today is rising Christian country singer Bradley Walker. He's got a brand new album out called Blessed, Hymns and Songs of Faith. It's available through Gaither Music, and it features 13 tracks that have many, many celebrity guests, including the Oak Ridge Boys, Vince Gill, Jimmy Fortune, Charlotte Ritchie, Ricky Skaggs, Rhonda Vincent, and, of course, Alison Krauss. And she's featured on this one. We'll meet Bradley on the other side, but first, let's let the music do the talking with the song, Angel Band.
My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph has begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away white wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snow white wings to my immortal home. Victory. Oh, come,
Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and we just heard a brand new song by Bradley Walker off his album Blessed, Hymns and Songs of Faith. That was Angel Band featuring Allison Krauss and Buddy Cannon. Bradley Walker is an up-and-coming country Christian singer, and he is my guest today here on this show. He's got an amazing story to tell. He's got this new album filled with lots and lots of special guests, and we'll be talking to him about that. So let's get busy and welcome Bradley Walker to the program. Hey, Bradley, how's it going?
Tom, I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
And you've got a very interesting story. You work in a nuclear power plant by day, and you sing country music and Christian music and bluegrass music at night.
That's about right.
So let's talk about that weird paradox that you find yourself in. You've been nominated for Dove Awards. You've played at the Grand Ole Opry. You've got lots of accolades and accomplishments. Why still do a day job?
Well, that's what puts food on the table, you know, honestly. I mean, it's the music business is very tough to make, you know, a sustainable living traveling and making music. It's hard. It's very hard. For anybody, there's only a select few at the very top, you know, who are able to make the kind of money that you would need to be able to turn away from a day job. So I've just, you know, as long as I can do both, then that's what I'm going to try to do. You know, my job is very, they work with me quite a bit as far as time off to play shows and to do what I need to do for music. So it's a blessing for me to be able to have the best of both worlds.
All right. And how long have you been doing the nuclear power plant stuff?
I've been at Browns Ferry for 15 years.
Wow. Now, is that based in Nashville?
No, it's in North Alabama. I live in a little town called Athens, Alabama, which is only about 100 miles south of Nashville. I'm just over the Alabama state line. So not too far from the Music City.
So you can do a road trip whenever you need to.
I can.
All right.
And that again is a blessing too, you know, because if I lived 30 minutes more down the road, you know, it'd be tougher to get to Nashville. So I'm just very blessed to live where I do and to be that close to where all the music happens.
You know, country music is so fringed. There's so many different subcategories, and you seem to touch on all of them with this latest album, Blessed, Hymns and Songs of Faith. You've got bluegrass, you've got traditional country, and you've got a lot of gospel in there as well. What do you consider yourself? What is your favorite format?
At my core, I'm a country singer. I mean, that's what I grew up loving. People like Merle Haggard and George Jones and Vern Gosden and on and on and on. The traditional country music is really my number one love. I spent quite a bit of time in the bluegrass world and still do some bluegrass festivals from time to time, but spent my first solo album called Highway of Dreams was marketed as a bluegrass record. It kind of straddled the fence between bluegrass and country a little bit, but I love it all, man. If it's good music, and all of my music, though, is going to have probably that country tint to it, that country acoustic bluegrass, a mixture of those two probably is the best way to put it. And then you put that kind of an arrangement around hymns that we all know and love, and that's pretty much what you've got with this new record.
You've got a lot of celebrity friends on this, and before we get into talking about them and playing some songs, let's play one. What's something that you'd like to play off the album for my listeners?
Oh, goodness. Well, you could start, I guess, with the lead-off track, which is probably the most well-known song of all time, maybe. Not just in gospel music, but any music, Amazing Grace.
All right, let's do that. We'll be back with Bradley Walker after this.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but grace will lead me
music. Bradley Walker taking on a classic gospel song that is known and loved all around the world. That's Amazing Grace, and that's off his latest album, Blessed, Hymns and Songs of Faith. Bradley, you are, you've got this new album out, and it's the holiday season, and of course, we are celebrating Christ in this coming next few weeks. Are you doing a lot of dates for the holidays because this is a Christian-based album?
Not a lot. I've got a few dates coming up, a couple Christmas shows. I actually just booked a show on December 1st with my dear friend Rory Feek. He's kicking off a round of Christmas shows there at the farm, he and Joey's farm in Columbia, Tennessee. And so he's asked me to come up and do some singing with him December 1st, and then I've been doing a Christmas show down in Mississippi with one of my dearest friends in the world, Carl Jackson, a little town called Louisville, Mississippi. That's a Christmas show the second weekend of December.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few things, that I'm doing, and going to try to get out and travel more in 2018 if I can, and get out and play some more churches and different venues, just anywhere I can.
You mentioned Rory, and of course, we recently lost Joey, and I'm happy to see that he's out doing music again. Now that that the family crisis, I guess you'd say, is settling down, is he going to be out doing more work? Are you going to be producing, letting him produce you again on things? What's the relationship like there?
Well, Rory is just one of my dearest friends. I actually talked to him last week on the phone. He's a hard guy to get on the phone these days because he stays really busy with, he's got a little girl to raise.
And, mm-hmm.
I actually got to talk to Indiana on the phone the other day, which was just warmed my heart, And so Rory stays busy, and he still does anything and everything he can to keep Joey's memory alive. That's always very, very high on his list, But I do think that, just for him to do these shows that he's done a couple shows earlier in the year, and then now to do these Christmas shows coming up, and to even have that thought in his mind is a big step for him.
Right.
You know? And so you never know what the future is going to hold. I mean, I know that we would love working together again on something. So you just never know. You know, you keep all options open. I would have never dreamed that I would have this opportunity to work with the Gaithers and for Rory and I to make the Call Me Old Fashioned record that we did last year, out of singing at Joey's graveside. You know, you just never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who knows what the future, only God knows what the future is going to hold. And I know that anytime he wants me there in anything he's involved in, it's always a blessing for me, because I love Rory to pieces and just absolutely loved and still miss Joey every day. And I too want to keep her memory alive as much as I can, because she's as much a part of this journey as anybody.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how things work their way out, and how the pieces just fall together. Here's a tragedy, and yet it led to a wonderful album.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a testament, you know, because we all know that you know, everything's in God's hands, but man, when something like that happens, it just kind of reinforces it, you know. And so I always keep that in my mind, because that's what brought on this opportunity to make these records and to be affiliated with Bill and Gloria Gaither for me, which is just such a blessing, you know. I mean, because what they do is the best, you know. They're the best at what they do, and so to be affiliated with them and associated with them and what they have built for so many years is such an incredible blessing for me. It still really blows my mind, to be honest with you. It's overwhelming at times.
You've been part of network specials. You were nominated multiple times this past year for a Dove Award.
Sure did.
And you've accomplished all of this and this latest amazing album that we're featuring today, despite the fact that you are suffering from muscular dystrophy. You have not let that stand in your way at any point in your career. And I just think that's a phenomenal story in itself.
No, it never has. I was raised to never let any challenge that I may face in life get in the way of pursuing a dream. You know, it's the way I was raised. And I think that's, you know, you can take that and apply that with my situation being in a wheelchair, but you can also apply it to any challenge, you know, because there's people that face all kind of challenges. My challenges are just more easily seen, you know, but there's people that face other challenges that you can't even see. But you should just never let any challenge get in the way of pursuing a dream, you know, and if it's God's will for things to happen, then they'll happen, you know. And I've just been blessed with a family and incredible friends who have always supported me and encouraged me in my life to chase after those dreams, you know, full force. And I'm a living testament that dreams can and do come true.
All right, speaking of those famous friends, let's play a song now. Just a few weeks ago, I had Jimmy Fortune, ex-Statler Brothers, on the program to promote his post-Statler Brothers career. And you record another traditional song, probably as traditional as they get, The Old Rugged Cross. So we're going to play that now. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Bradley Walker. Stay with me.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish finish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear till he calls me one day to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
As traditional as you can get in gospel music, The Old Rugged Cross. That song has been around for, well, probably centuries. I don't know the history of it, but I know everyone has sang that at some point in their church or on a country album. And that, of course, is my guest, Bradley Walker, teaming up with Jimmy Fortune, who was a guest here on the show just a few weeks ago. And it's off the new album that Bradley's got, Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith, distributed by Capital Christian Distribution, Universal Music. It's part of the Gaither Group. Just so many wonderful songs. There's 13 on here in all. Bradley, let's talk a little bit about how you teamed up with some of these great artists. Let's talk first about Jimmy Fortune.
Oh, gosh, Jimmy Fortune. We laugh and say he's always the nicest guy in the room. If he's in the room, he's the nicest guy in the room.
Amen to that.
He is just a sweetheart of a guy, man. I actually met Jimmy several years back at a bluegrass convention, at the IBMA convention in Nashville. And he's the type of person you can tell if you have a chance to meet him just immediately that he is as real as they get. You know, his personality and everything and his heart. Ben Isaacs produced this album.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first times we sat down and talked about, you know, songs and kind of what we wanted to do with this, we just started talking about possibilities of you know, who could we get to sing harmony on this record. And Ben has worked with Jimmy before, produced some of his albums for the Gaithers. And when I found out that Jimmy had agreed to sing, and then when Ben would send me these little snippets of videos while he was in the studio working. If I couldn't be there, he'd send me a little video, and he sent me a video of The Old Rugged Cross, and the chorus started. I started singing the chorus with the harmony before I knew who he had on it,
mm-hmm.
And then about one or two words into the chorus, you know, the camera goes over to Jimmy, and he's listening to it being played back. And man, when I heard our voices together for the first time, it honestly brought tears to my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because that guy is just, he still sounds as good or better than he ever has right now, and such an unmistakable voice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you hear that
Yeah, and you've got such a strong baritone voice, and his tenor, I mean, it just, it works together magically. It's quite the chemistry.
Yeah, it does. It really does. That was, that's one of my favorites. It's hard for me to pick favorites on this record because I love all these songs.
Mm-hmm.
But that one's pretty high on the list. That's one of my favorite cuts on this record.
You mentioned Ben Isaacs, of the Isaacs, and of course he... Also, they also sing with Jimmy on his last album, and he's worked with the Oak Ridge Boys, who are good friends of this show. And he's got quite an imprint, quite a style, I guess you'd say, that he brings. What did he bring to this album, Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith? What did he bring to the table that most impacted this particular recording?
I think the biggest thing, honestly, is the fact that Ben and I kind of both went to the same school, if you will, musically. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of the same influences and a lot of the same, we enjoy the same styles of music and the same artists, you know, and Ben's biggest thing is just trying to take whatever vision an artist might have and do everything he can to make that vision come to life, you know, and he's such a student of the studio, if that makes sense. I mean, he's so knowledgeable about all the different technology and the ways to get the best tones and the best everything out of a studio. And I don't want to get too technical, but it just... all of that matters. You know, all those things make a record what it is. And to have that technical background and that much knowledge along with the same love of the same kind of music, you know, it was just a really fun experience. I've known Ben for years and years, and we talked about working together a long time ago, probably 14, 15 years ago, we talked about working together. And it just didn't, at the time, it just wasn't right. And now, to have been able to do this record with him, and to see what he brings to the table, it's been a fun experience. And I hope that we get to work together a lot more in the future.
Now, how long have you actually been performing professionally? And the reason I ask is I understand there was a connection with the Oak Ridge Boys when you were a very young man, a very young boy, actually. They helped jumpstart your exposure on the big stage, so to speak. Tell me that story, and then let's play Family Bible.
Yeah, those guys, I met the Oak Ridge Boys when I was just practically just a baby. By the time I was 3 or 4 years old, I was singing Elvira. That was one of the first songs I ever learned to sing. And a friend of ours arranged for me to meet the guys as a 3 or 4 year old kid, you know. And then we used to go to all their fan club events every year in Nashville. And so I just grew up knowing those guys, and we just remained friends. And I sang with them at one of their fan club events. And then not long after that, Joe Bonzel used to always, he would call me just out of the blue. Before you had cell phones or any of that, he would call the house and just check in. And he called me one day and said, "Hey, man," he said, "there's a good chance we may get to host Nashville Now." Nashville Now was a very popular nightly country music program on TNN, the Nashville Network. Back in the 80s and early 90s, very, very popular program on cable TV. It was, a lot of people know it as the Ralph Emery Show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "There's a good chance we may get to host that show, and if we do, we want you to come on and sing with us. We want you to come on and sing a song, and then us maybe sing Elvira together." And just a few months pass, and Joe calls back, and he said, "Hey, man, come up to Nashville next week. Let's do Nashville Now."
Wow. Now, how old were you then?
A 10-year-old kid. I had already been singing for several years just locally, but to have the opportunity to go on national television and sing in front of a this huge television audience and a live studio audience, and to have all these professional musicians playing behind me, that was huge for a 10-year. It's huge for anybody, but especially for a 10-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the guys did that and gave me that experience at the height of their careers speaks volumes about who they are and just the kind of people they are, you know. So I owe the Oak Ridge Boys a lot to exposing me, what I always say, to the really professional side of the music business.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they are singing on one of my records. It's pretty cool.
And let's play that one now. This is the Oak Ridge Boys, and they are sitting in with Bradley Walker on the Blessed CD. This is Family Bible.
Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, clip for me.
There's a Family Bible on the table. Each page is torn and hard to read, but the Family Bible on the table will ever be my key to memory. At the end of day, when work was over and when our evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the Family Bible, and we'd count our many blessings one by one. I can't see us sitting round the table when from the Family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. This old world of ours is full of trouble, but this world would oh so better be if we'd find more Bibles on the table and mother singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. I can see us sitting round the table when from the Family Bible Dad would read, and I can hear my mother softly singing, Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, cleft for me.
It just doesn't get any better, vocally that is, with the Oak Ridge Boys and, of course, my guest Bradley Walker. This is his album, Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith, and that's track number 2. Singing with your idols when you're 10, and then now them coming to sing with you, I mean, that has to be quite a moving experience.
It really is. I mean, it just, I would have never believed it if you told me just a few years ago, you know, but it is so humbling, and it's a great feeling because, you know, what's cool about all this and all these guests on this record is not only are they people that I love and people I admire and look up to musically, but they're all friends. They're all people that I've gotten to know and can call my friend, you know, and that's huge to me. That means an awful lot.
What made you want to be a country singer at such a young age? I mean, what was it? What flipped your trigger and says, this is what I'm going to do someday?
I just love great songs and love, I love performing. And man, that's a good question. I mean, I guess just the whole experience of being on stage and realizing that something that you're doing, that people enjoy it. You know, not only do you enjoy it, but other people enjoy it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty cool feeling. And just my parents always loved music and still love music just in general. And so I think they put in me that love, that really deep love of music. And the good Lord just somehow he gave me whatever amount of talent that I have, you know, and I've loved it. I love being able to sing. I can't imagine my life without music.
Did you find your voice in church? Because obviously you are very close to the gospel songs, and you have a lot of faith that comes through in speaking with you. Was that where it all started?
It was. That and just singing anywhere I could. But certainly, yeah, I mean, singing in church is probably the first place that you realize that you, hey, I can carry a tune. You
mm-hmm.
know, whether it was singing in church or just going riding down the road singing along with the radio, you know, just as I came into my own vocally, I guess, and you go through puberty and your voice goes through all the changes and everything, and I started figuring out and finding my style, you know, and my what I loved and what I wanted to, what kind of singer I wanted to be, I guess. And that's where people like Merle Haggard and Jones and Vern Gosd and Keith Whitley, all these, I just love the really great traditional country singers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just tried to always take what I loved from each one of those and turn, you know, take all that and mold that into my own style. And so that's pretty much what it is, you know, whether I'm singing a country song or a gospel song or a bluegrass song or whatever, I think those influences and that style is always gonna you know, shine through, hopefully.
Now, do you do a lot of songwriting as well?
You know, I don't. Rory Feek and I and another dear friend of ours, Tim Johnson, who went to be with the Lord several years ago from cancer as well. Tim and Rory and I wrote a song that I recorded on my Call Me Old Fashioned record, a song called I Feel Sorry for Them, and that's the only song I've ever had a hand in writing so far. I feel like if I went down that road, I would want to be just one of these incredible songwriters, and I just don't think God gave me that talent. I think that's something that you have to, that's a God-given talent, songwriting, just like singing or playing, to me. So I leave the writing to the guys and gals that have that talent, and I stick to finding the songs and singing them and let those folks write them.
All right, well, let's go back to that album, Call Me Old Fashioned. Let's play that song. This is I Feel Sorry for Them. We'll be back with Bradley Walker after this. 3, 2, 1. Going back a few years, I Feel Sorry for Them. That's off the, I think it's the most recent album before this one, correct? Call Me Old Fashioned?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And what year did that come out?
Came out last year, 2016.
Okay. And that's the one you got all the accolades for, the dub nominations.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
That was the album that we were able to make. It was my first release with Gabriel Music Group. Rory Feek and I produced that album, and we just tried to find the best songs that we could to make the best record that we could, and I feel like we did that. You know, the songs on that particular album are, they all kind of have a country flavor to them, but they're all inspirational songs with just great stories,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I love songs because they're still out there.
Now, this album, the new one, Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith, as I understand, obviously, is in the Cracker Barrel locations. But usually when it's something is in the Cracker Barrel stores, it's not in other brick-and-mortar retailers. Yours is, as I understand. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
Because I know usually they'll it's pretty exclusive. It's proprietary in a way.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes artists will do an exclusive Cracker Barrel deal. But what's really cool about working with the Gaither label and their brand is that they have a very good relationship with Cracker Barrel. Bill Gaither and what he does fits really well with the folks that go to Cracker Barrel, you know. And so my music can be found on the Gaither rack there in Cracker Barrel, and that's such a blessing to me to know that my music is in a place like Cracker Barrel, because I love going there. I love eating there as much as I can, and everything they represent is what I love. And so to have my music there is really special, because man, there's hardly anywhere that you go that you can't find a Cracker Barrel.
Right. And thank goodness for that, because they're the only place I can find catfish for breakfast. Catfish and eggs.
There you go.
All right, you can find it online as well at www.gaither.com. The music is there. It's at all the regular online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, and probably at the local brick-and-mortar record store in your neighborhood, if you're listening. Something else, in addition to this amazing album, is an amazing DVD companion. Now, let's talk about that, especially because you recorded it in Alexandria, Indiana.
I did.
Why Indiana? I mean, we're based in Indiana right now, right outside of Chicago, but why Indiana? Nobody comes here.
Well, Alexandria, Indiana is the home of Bill Gaither.
Okay.
Bill and Gloria Gaither, that's where they're from, and that's where they still reside today, and their home base for their company is in Alexandria. That's where they do all of their, or most all of their video production is done there. And then the record side, the music side of everything is based out of just outside of Nashville. So we came up to Alexandria to film the DVD, and it's a very legendary place there, that studio where that was filmed, because that's where everything started. For Bill Gaither, Bill and Gloria was in that place and in that studio. Lots of classic gospel music has been recorded and released from that place. And so just, again, to be associated with them and to have their blessing on what I'm doing, and for them to want to bring me into their family of artists is just a huge blessing.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the very famous friends that appear on this. We've already played something of you with the Oak Ridge Boys. We've done Jimmy Fortune. Some of the others that guest on here, of course, Alison Krauss. You can't get any better than her. Ricky Skaggs. Vince Gill, one of the most amazing guitar players of any genre. I've heard him rock out on an Alice Cooper record, so I know that man can play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ben Isaacs, the Isaacs, Charlotte Ritchie. I mean, so many different talents on this. We can't get to all of them, so let's pick another song for the listeners. What do you think we should play?
Well, I tell you, like I said, it's hard to pick one song or, you know, one guest feature. The song that Vince is singing with me is very special to me. I love Vince Gill. He sang on my very first album called Highway of Dreams back about 11 years ago. Sang harmony on that record. And just a great guy. And we chose the song Drifting Too Far from the Shore for Vince to sing on. Vince and Sonia Isaacs are singing harmony on this song. Vince used to do this with Emmylou Harris with her Angel Band back in the day. And just a probably more well-known song in the bluegrass world than anywhere else, but Vince's voice on this just takes it over the top, and it's one of my favorites.
All right, this is it. Drifting Too Far from the Shore, Vince Gill, special guest on this, along with my guest today, Bradley Walker. We'll talk with Bradley a final time on the other side. Stay with me.
Out on the perilous deep, where dangers creed, and storm so violently sweet. You're drifting too far from the shore, drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today, let Him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. Mercies abundantly wait. Turn back before it's too late. You're drifting too far from the shore, drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today, let Him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. Rolls high and clouds overshadow the sky. Sure, death is hovering nigh. You're drifting too far from the shore, drifting shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today, let Him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore.
3, 2, 1. New music from Bradley Walker. That's off the Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith, and that is out now, recently released, and that's featuring Vince Gill on vocals there. Sounding great, and 13 songs on this album. We're going to feature another one as we get ready to close out. But first, Bradley, what have we not talked about that you would like to let people know about your journey, about this? You're so inspiring. I mean, the things that you've overcome, the fact that you've not only overcome muscular dystrophy as a holdback, but you have overcome all the hurdles, if you will, of the music business to make these famous friends, to get the respect you have, and to succeed as you have. So I could talk with you all day, but obviously you have things to do. So what have we not talked about you'd like to let folks know?
Well, I just want to thank everybody for their support more than anything. You know, that's without knowing that there's folks out there that enjoy what you do, that's why you do it, you know. And I just hope that my music can be a blessing to folks. With, like you said earlier, with the holidays coming up, I hope that this new record is maybe something that you can put on and sing along with, because these songs are, most all of them are songs that we all grew up singing. And, you know, it just, you want to do something that not only that you're proud of, but something that brings people joy. And so I hope that this record can do that for people, for folks, if they want to keep up with me or read a little more about me and my story, whatever, they can go to my website online. It's www.bradleywalker.com. I have a tour schedule there, and there's an online store there as well. And so and thank you, Tom, for the time today and being able to talk a little bit about this music and for your support and playing my records. It means the world.
Happy to do it. We're going to close out with a final song. And Bradley, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Tom, thank you so much. God bless you, sir.
All righty. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I think this song kind of sums up Bradley's career and his attitude, because sometimes we just have to take things one day at a time. Bradley Walker, One Final Time, off Blessed Hymns and Songs of Faith. Check it out.
I'm only human, I'm just a man. Lord, help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb, and Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among me? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time.
Hey, Lakeshore listeners, this is your old pal Jim Peterick of the Ides of March. Midwest Beat with Tom Lounges is a twice-weekly celebrity interview and music program with different celebrity guests on every show. Rock with Tommy every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. and every Friday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. on 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. Or stream live at lakeshorepublicradio.org.
You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and it's time to find out what happened on this day in music history. Born on this day, R&B singer Billy Paul, who is best known for the hit single Me and Mrs. Jones. It went to number one in the U.S. in 1972.
Me and Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones. We got a thing.
Also born on this day in 1944, the Divine Miss M, singer-actress Bette Midler. Sharing that birthday in 1944 was John Densmore, the drummer of The Doors.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Arguably one of the best jazz bass players of all time, Mr. Jaco Pastorius was born on this day in 1951. The late, great Jaco Pastorius was best known for his work with Weather Report. In 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show along with Sam Cooke. Sam performed You Send Me, and Buddy, well, he did a double shot of That'll Be the Day and Peggy Sue.
Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue.
In 1958, on this day, the Teddy Bears were at the number one spot on the U.S. singles chart with To Know Him Is to Love Him. Here's a little side note on that song. The title of the Phil Spector tune came from the words that were engraved on Phil's father's tombstone. That's a little creepy. In 1966, the hip-swiveling Tom Jones was at number one on the charts with his version of Green Green Grass of Home. It stayed at number one for a number of weeks, giving Decca Records its first million-selling single by a British artist.
Good to touch the green, green grass of home.
1 year later, in 1967, Pink Floyd, Jimi Hendrix, The Move, The Nice, and other groups played at the Central Hall in Chatham, England. Hendrix memorably opened his set by paying tribute to the Beatles with a song of theirs that had just been released that week. Hendrix gave us Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, psychedelic style. This was not a good day back in 1983 for Neil Young, who got sued by Geffen Records, his music label at the time, because they felt his album, Everybody's Rockin', was quote-unquote not commercial in nature and musically uncharacteristic of Neil's previous albums. You see, it only ran 25 minutes and it was chock full of rockabilly songs. In 1988, born on this day, was Tyler Joseph. He, of course, is the singer, songwriter, instrumentalist, record producer, lead vocalist, and rapper for the musical duo 21 Pilots. Vanilla Ice started a four-week run at number one with the song Ice Ice Baby. It was a track that sampled the bass intro to the Queen David Bowie number one single Under Pressure. Ice Ice Baby was originally released as the B-side to the rapper's cover of Play That Funky Music by Wild Cherry. It became the A-side only after U.S. DJs started playing it on the radio.
Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
That sums up some of the major things that happened on this day in music history. I'm Tom Lounges. Coming up in just a few minutes, the Oak Ridge Boys. It's a special Christmas, and I've got Richard Sturban, the bass man of the Oaks, joining me shortly. I'm Tom Lounges, and you know, music can be a lot of fun. It can make you want to dance. It can make you stop and think. Music is something that taps into our emotional spectrum and often makes us smile as it conjures up a great old memory. Think about it for a moment. You can probably name a dozen tunes that give you that kind of emotional response. And if you think about it further, there's a good chance you've heard those songs right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. From the old favorites to the new releases, we play music that means something to you. So next time you hear a song that makes you smile because of a great old memory or a song that turns you on to a new artist, remember that Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM is supported by listeners like you who give because they want a choice on the radio dial. Do your part right now. Join online at lakeshorepublicradio.org and click on the red donate button to keep the music you love alive and well on 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore.